I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit Superbook.com.
Sal Licata, Sports Radio.
So I guess the Knicks aren't going to get Kristaps Porzingis, which is a little bit disappointing. And not that I want to lead the show with that, but it is a blockbuster deal ahead of the NBA draft. And look, with the Knicks having no picks in it, it's going to be a matter of how they can upgrade their team without, you know, a top pick, obviously, in the draft. And you know, it's going to either be some minor moves in free agency you would expect, or get creative and make a trade, whether it is trading Obi Toppin. I don't think you're going to see something like, you know, a Zion Williamson trade with R.J. Barrett or Julius Randle. I mean, I expect them to fully keep Randle there with Jalen Brunson and probably keep R.J. Barrett as well. I just don't know if that player is out there, the difference maker is out there, as we talked about a little bit last night, for the Knicks to be able to go all in for and break up some of the core of this team. They better hope that Quentin Grimes, that Emmanuel Quickley, these guys continue to develop and become impact players. And like I said, with Obi Toppin, he's an interesting one. I know his name has come up here in recent days because there's no need to have him and Julius Randle on the team. The Knicks have not utilized Obi Toppin to his full potential, and he doesn't fit what they need, which is why I loved Porzingis and would have, look, I certainly would have traded Obi Toppin in that. You see what the Celtics gave up for Porzingis, gave it up Marcus Smart. I actually like that move for Memphis, adding some toughness, some defense with Marcus Smart. I feel like he's a good piece for that team. You know, in the three-way trade, you know, a bunch of picks involved as well. But Porzingis going to Boston, I think that's a win-win for Boston and for Memphis. Yeah, I just want the Knicks to be involved here in some way, shape, or form, getting a good player. You know, it can't just be Josh Hart. I mean, I guess, you know, the Knicks can find ways to improve their team as far as shooting goes, you know, without making that blockbuster move. But they have a guy in Obi Toppin who could be a good player if given more minutes. He fills a void, or could fill a void for some team if given an opportunity to be a starter or to get more minutes. I just don't think he fits with the Knicks, and I like him. So maybe that's going to be the piece that a trade would be centered around, whether it is for picks or what. But anyway, you look at some of the action here. You know, usually with the NBA in the offseason, they come in bunches here. So Woj breaking that trade, it was something that happened earlier yesterday, but then just came down officially where it was a, you know, a different three-team trade with the Wizards and Grizzlies and Celtics. But Porzingis, one of the guys that I wanted for the Knicks, not just because of the nostalgia. Yeah, they drafted him, and he was an original Knick and gave the Knicks hope years ago. I actually couldn't believe when they ended up trading him. I remember where I was. I was at SNY getting ready to do the show Loudmouths, and we got word that they traded Porzingis. I was so upset because I couldn't believe they actually did it. Now, I get it. There was other circumstances involved there. They didn't feel that, you know, they wanted to or going to be able to sign him, and they ended up trading Porzingis. It was just, you know, he was their guy at the moment. The one hope that they had was Porzingis. And this was before you thought that it was going to be... Remember, they were supposed to get Zion Williamson, potentially, that offseason, or get the number one pick, and it was supposed to be Zion Williamson at that point, looking to get big free agents, KD, Kyrie, whoever would have become available. But they didn't, and they ended up trading Porzingis, you know, before that anyway. And to me, it made no sense because they gave up a star player, their best guy. I know he's had injury history and stuff like that, but man, Porzingis was an impact player. The one rare impact player that the Knicks actually drafted, that's the guy they decided to trade. Now, look, they've recovered from it, but coming full circle, bringing Porzingis back, would have been an exciting move. Plus, he fills a void for him more than, let's say, Obi Toppin. You know, Porzingis in that role, a big that could stretch the floor and actually shoot. And he's a 10 times better shooter than Obi Toppin. Again, Obi does different things, and he does them well. Transition, runs the floor well, great energy guy. And he did show, without Randall, down the stretch in meaningless games, that he could have an impact. And he did have a decent impact in the postseason as well, but he just needs to shoot better. I don't trust him shooting threes. So erratic. I mean, when he misses, he could throw up air balls. I mean, that to me is getting lucky when you knock them down as opposed to being good. Porzingis is actually a big who's a good shooter, and you watch. Boston will utilize him properly, and he will be a difference maker on that team with Tatum, with Brown, and, you know, building a Celtics team that is once again going to contend in the Eastern Conference to be one of the better teams in the conference. I can't get it in the draft. I'm not sold on it. Maybe that's just because the Knicks, if they don't have a first-round pick, if they did, it'd be a little more intriguing, especially if they had a top first-round pick. But the draft just doesn't do it for me. But you know why I started talking about Porzingis? You know what else doesn't do it for me? The New York baseball. The New York baseball doesn't do it for me. And I'm not even going to mention the team that plays in Queens because they don't deserve me to mention them by name. There's no point. I mean, I can't get angry about that team because we've already said that they were done weeks ago. You know, they lose another series. Surprise, surprise. They just the team that plays baseball in Queens in this town makes it impossible to win series. I don't understand it. Even the worst teams in baseball figure out a way to win series. But yet this team that plays baseball in Queens that will remain nameless has talent. They have the most expensive roster in all of Major League Baseball. They have talent. They were a good team a year ago, and they're not a good team now. And I just don't understand it. You know, losing 2 out of 3 to the Astros, normally not that big of a deal. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Astros after losing 2 out of 3 to the Cardinals after losing 2 out of 3 to the Pirates after losing, you know, both series by a sweep to the Braves and Blue Jays. This is what we call, and National League fans in New York will know what I'm saying here. They'll understand the term. This is what we call a June swoon. Now, it's not just a June swoon, because it's been on top of struggles in April and May, but June has been as ugly as possible. And it's probably not going to get much better, because if it hasn't gotten better at this point, what more can you say? They're just not very good. The positive team in this town, the New York Yankees, they get another win. I told you, Monday morning, coming off the sweep, everybody wanted to panic with the Red Sox sweeping the Yankees, Yankees losing 4 in a row, Everybody wanted to go nuts about it. And I said, no, thanks. I've been down this road before. Because I was one of those people that would go nuts and overreact one way or another. But I'm not doing that throughout the course of the season. Every time the Yankees hit a little bit of a bump in the road, there will be plenty of bumps. And that's exactly what that four-game losing streak was. A little bit of a bump. And even without Aaron Judge, the Yankees now have been able to look like a real team these last couple of games, taking care of the Mariners. Not scoring 100 runs to do so, but four runs last night as they hang on and win a 4-2 ball game behind young Johnny Brito, who, I don't know if its name reminds me of Johnny Cueto. Johnny Cueto, Johnny Brito, his delivery. Brito has been nasty at times. Now, I know he's been hit hard a couple of times this year as well, but I've seen a lot of promise in Brito. And this was one of those good efforts, 5 2/3, not allowing a run, just two hits, where, you know, the Yankees get a big-time start from him. You're sensing a theme here with starting pitching, right? If you get a quality start, Gerrit Cole the night before, if you get a quality start, makes it a hell of a lot easier to win a ball game. Starting pitching keeps your team in a game, gives your offense a chance. Offense does just enough. Bullpen closes it out. Yankees figured out the formula. Not that difficult. Even on a night where they get five hits. Like I said, even on a night where they're not scoring a ton of runs. And they get contributions from, of course, household names. How do the Yankees do it? Every year, they'll have a stretch where they're without star players. And every year during that stretch, they get guys that contribute that we've never heard of before. Or maybe heard of before, but never thought they'd be contributors. Like Jake Bowers. Like Billy McKinney. I mean, think about it. Without those two guys, where would the Yankees be? So, not much offense. And you throw Volpe in there. He had himself a home run on the night as he inches closer and closer to 200. But, you know, you look at the Yankees figuring out a way. This is what they do. This is why I said they're going to go on one of those runs that they win 9 of 12 or 8 of 10 or whatever it may be that they're going to end up on here. And now they've taken the first two against Seattle looking for the sweep later on this evening before the Rangers will come to town this weekend. And that will be a fun series. You know, you figure they take 2 out of 3 from Seattle at worst. But what's going to happen against Texas, who's, you know, a very good team this year, one of the best teams, as a matter of fact. And you look at, you know, by any measures, you look at the run differential, you look at the record, the Rangers have been as good as anybody, you know, outside of the Rays. They've been as good as anybody in Major League Baseball. So it'll be fun to watch them come to town this weekend. But the Yankees in the beginning of one of those stretches to kind of right the ship a little bit and have people calm down and maybe appease the owner as well. Because yesterday, Hal Steinbrenner spoke and couldn't understand why Yankee fans were mad in June. Why are they mad at this point in the season? And if you didn't think that Hal was out of touch prior to that comment, you certainly did feel that was the case after that comment. Like, he's got to understand why a Yankee fan would be upset with the ball club right now. All right, yeah, so what? The Yankees are 8 games over .500. The Yankees are in third place, 9.5 games back. That's not the Yankee standards. This is not, hey, just make the playoffs and roll the dice and see what happens. This is a team that's supposed to go out there and compete for a World Series. This is a team that hasn't seen Carlos Rodon pitch. This is a team that has lost Aaron Judge for the time being and has no idea when he's coming back. This is a team that has to watch Josh Donaldson play third base every day instead of bringing up Oswald Peraza. This is a team that's seeing young guys struggle. Volpe, Cabrera. You know, this is a team that watches Gleyber Torres continually screw up on the field, just doing stupid things. By the way, I'm not buying the base running blunder was, you know, he thought the outfielder wasn't going to catch the ball. Watching him run, 1,000% he thought there was two outs. And either way, you can't make that mistake, getting doubled off there. And Gleyber Torres just does stupid things all the time. He's a losing player. Yankee fans pay top dollar to go out there and watch a team that is not top product. That's why they're frustrated. Other teams are better. That's why they're frustrated. Look at the lineup. Look at the outfield. And like I said, I think they'll be fine. And they'll get healthier, although Willie Calhoun going down, it doesn't help. Another injury. But you look at this Yankee lineup, Hal. Look at it. Jake Bowers, Willie Calhoun. I mean, you throw an IKF every once in a while. Josh Donaldson, Billy McKinney. Look at the lineup. You need me to tell you why Yankee fans are frustrated, why Yankee fans are upset, even though the team's over 500? Come on. Come back to us, Hal. Come back to reality. 877-337-6666. We'll take your calls on the other side, whatever it is you want to discuss on this now Thursday morning. You know, remember with the end of the overnights for me coming soon, this is the last overnight this week. I'll be filling in with Keith. What is today? So today's technically Thursday morning. So tomorrow afternoon, Friday afternoon, Keith and I will be filling in for Carden and Roberts. So no more overnights after tonight for this week. And then three more at the end of next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, to close out what has been a fun run for me on the overnights. Over 2 years of doing it, it's been fun, but it's coming to an end. So get at me. I want to hear from you guys.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Speak your mind at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on the fan. Superbook Sports is changing the game. Help your bets stay hot this summer at Superbook Sports, the most trusted name in sports gambling, with a direct line to Las Vegas. And now, when you use the promo code JerseyFan, you score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code JerseyFan. Download the Superbook Sports app in New Jersey. You can enter the code, the promo code JerseyFan, and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 877-337-6666. We're talking Yanks. We could talk some Knicks. We could talk some National League Baseball in New York, the team that plays in Queens, if you'd like. Chris is calling from Beacon. Chris?
Sal, my boy. What's up, man?
How are you, Chris?
I'm not doing well, as you're aware.
What happened?
What happened? I'm losing the best host ever on FAN. And I know you probably got all these calls last night, man, but...
Yeah, I know. I'm going to miss Carton, too. I understand.
It's sad, but you have, I'm sure you realize it, but I don't know how much you realize the impact you have on a lot of people's lives that listen to you. You know,
it's, oh, me you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, well, my life is the same. It's going, you know, it's okay. But your life, I'm talking about the impact of you being, you know, on this overnight. You know, it's different when, as an overnight host when you're, you know, a lot of people are sleeping. So when you're out here, you're, especially on the road, you just listen to radio, not really talking to people. So, you know, you impacted a lot of good lives in a good way, you know. And, look, you deserve it. You know, to me, you're the best host to be on this station. But even for myself, you know, look, you know, I don't get involved. I don't get into my personal life. I usually just talk about the sports. But there was plenty of times last 2 years when you've been on this hosting, and even when I called up starting last year, where I would have issues at home, and I don't, you know, to clear my mind from that, to be able to listen to you, talk to you about sports, to clear your head, it helped me out myself, and I'm sure it helps other people out in their life too. And it's gonna be a hard move now. This doesn't take anything away from C-Mac. I'm sure he's gonna be great. You know, I started listening, really turning on overnight when I was doing it for 16 years. Moose was on there. When Moose left, I was, you know, that bothered me. You know, I had a warmth to JJ, but I really started liking JJ a lot that he left. But when Sal Licata took over, see, I knew Sal Licata because he used to come in and fill in, like people used to fill in for you. And I used to hear you once in a blue, and I used to see you on SNY. So I knew who Sal Licata was. So I was excited when you got this overnight. But it was, this, like I said, this is why this is going to hurt the most, because, look, C-Mac being a Yankee Giants fan, I don't relate to that. You know that. And to have someone who shares my fandom of a Mets, Knicks, it's not really Jets, but really the Mets. It's just, it was good to be able to speak to you about those things. And
yeah, no,
you know,
I don't want,
don't cut me off yet. But, you know, what I mean by that is that, look, C-Mac, I don't share the same sport as far as, you know, Yankees and Giants. I can't be one of these callers that don't relate to that and want to argue with a host too. I do enough arguing at home. I want to leave that alone. I want to have a good time out here.
Well, I'm sure I get that some of you guys look at that like there's. I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans who hear me and are like, oh, I don't want to listen to that Met fan. But for me, I'm as unbiased as they come, and I play it down the middle for everybody. I call it how it is. Whether it's the Mets, whether it's the Yankees, Giants, Jets, Knicks, doesn't matter. We call it how it is. So, I mean, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate all the kind words. But you know, just because somebody's a Yankee fan or Giant fan doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to relate. Although I understand what you're saying. And one more point before I let you get to your other point about actual sports. And I do appreciate the kind words. You know, what you say about the bonding on the overnight, I understand it because, first of all, it is true that I don't think there's any other shift on the station that allows you to bond with the callers the way the overnight show does. But the way that I would always talk about watching West Coast games, you know, the Mets playing the Dodgers, the Yankees playing the A's, whatever, those West Coast trips, I always feel like you bond with the team during those West Coast trips because it's just you and the team. The majority of the world is sleeping. The house is sleeping. It's just you and your team. And maybe that's what it's like on the overnights where the majority of the world is sleeping, but here we are talking sports.
Exactly. And, you know, you have people on the road, you have people at home there, your family's sleeping, they're up listening when, you know, most people are sleeping. And the thing about you, Sal, is that you're open book, and that's why I think you're such a good host. You're genuine. You talk about your personal life to the T of, you know, people are like, wow, I don't know if this guy's going to get divorced when he gets home. Like, you talk about your personal things. Now, you may go a little theatric with it, but you're real with it, and a lot of people don't open up like that. You know, I know Gio does a little bit at home. He starts talking about that stuff, but a lot of people are just, they come here, they talk sports, and that's why you have a lot of people listening now, like, oh, just talk to sports. Sometimes it's good. How many times do we hear Cashman sucks, Boone sucks, Epler sucks, when it's sometimes, you know, every call's going to say that, at least it's good to talk about other things. That's why the back and forth with you and Stewart, it's great sometimes. Like I said, when you come, like, I'll leave from home when I'm having a big problem with my wife or something, you know, it's good to laugh sometimes to get out of your way, especially out here on the road by yourself. It's good to hear those things, and I be able to, like I said, I never called the station besides calling you because you're that good of a host. I do relate with the sports that we talk about, so it's good to call you and everything. But
you just want to call me because you want to talk about the Jersey Housewives or Vanderpump Rules. I mean,
don't even get me with that. I already thought about that. That is completely over at this point. But no one's going to want to ever talk about that stuff. But look, you and BT are going to kill it. I know BT's a big Jets fan. I don't know if I'm ever, even during football season, I'll be able to get on that shit. That's prime time. I'll probably get nervous anyway, even trying to speak at that time. But if I'm able to ever get on and talk about Jets, because that's why I was saying if this happens, it's going to be sad, man, because we went through a long journey together. And look, I'll end it with that stuff. Next up, you know this. So we'll talk sports next week. I'll be Thursday and Friday. I won't be here Wednesday. So I'll be talking the last 2 days. But
I appreciate it, Chris.
But basically, Sal, you know, I don't know. Like you said, it's a tough transition. I'm going to listen to T-Mac because I'm out here. You know, am I going to call? Probably not that often. But, you know, it's a sad thing, Sal. And look, you're going to kill it. You deserve this. And really quickly, Sal, I said from the beginning, your stardom has arrived. I said you're a star. You're like, I'm the regular guy out here. But look what happened, Sal. 2 years ago, you get the overnight full-time job. A little over a year later, you got a hosting job on TV. And now you move to middays. And that's because how good you are of a host. Your star risen in just 2 years of all these opportunities, man. And I'm proud of you. You deserve it. Keep killing this out because you guys are going to have a great show, that midday show.
Thank you, Chris.
Fired up guys, man.
I appreciate that. We appreciate the car. Enough. I can't take it anymore. I appreciate it, but thank you. Goodness, please stop. Get to the point about the Mets or the Yankees or something, for goodness sake. I don't want to talk about me. But I am good, right? No, I do appreciate it. And by the way, it's not just 2 years. I mean, maybe you start to see some things come to fruition over the course of the last 2 years, which I'm very thankful for and happy about, but I've been doing this since 2003. I started as an intern in 2003 and worked my way up from the bottom level. Intern, tape op, board op, produce, opportunity to host. You know, I got fired. I came back. I left. I came back. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, people don't, I said this yesterday, and this is probably the most important part of this. People don't see. The analogy that I used, and I did this when I was talking with Jimmy Tran on the Sports Illustrated Media podcast this week. When I was growing up, I'd watch wrestling, right? And when you're watching, it was always WWF for me. I mean, occasionally WCW, whatever, but I was watching WWF. And you'd see whoever, Hogan, Jake the Snake, Macho Man, you name a guy, Harley Race, whatever it may be. And you're watching these guys, and you just assume, at least as a kid, that that's where they started. Like, that's it. Oh, wow, this guy became a wrestler. He's in the WWF, and there we go. And until many years later, where I started to get older and then watch programs or read books about the wrestlers and learning that there were other territories that they worked their way up in. The idea that Hulk Hogan was wrestling somewhere else, or Randy Savage or whatever, all these guys wrestled somewhere else before they got to the main stage of WWF at the time. You don't realize the work that goes in. And people see you on TV, people hear you on the radio, and they just think, oh, wow, you know, that guy got lucky. I could do that. You don't see the work or have any idea of the sacrifice that, you know, guys like myself, guys like Fleegs, McMonagle, that we put in over the years where, you know, we're doing this. You started out with no money and you're doing it. It's not a glorious job, but you love to do it because we're talking sports. We're working at a radio station that we grew up loving. So you do it. You sacrifice your hours. You know, people, Mike and the dog used to make fun of me for living at home till I was 30. Well, I mean, there's a good reason for that. Number one, my mom's a great cook and she took good care of me. But number two, I didn't really have enough money to move out. I was working at the Fan full time behind the scenes doing what I love to do after I left Home Depot. And it wasn't about money. I wasn't making enough. But it didn't matter to me because I was happy. But when everybody else was either moving out or going out in the city and hanging out on Friday and Saturday nights, you know, I also got married at a later age. And people were, how come you don't have a girlfriend? Well, I'm working 4 to midnight Friday, Saturday, Sunday. When exactly do you want me to go out? Or you're working two jobs trying to, you know, make it in the... Like, those are the things that the morons on Twitter who just say, oh, you suck, I could do that job, or I could bring more to the table than this guy. Like, you don't see all that stuff. I guarantee you, you guys have listened to me for 2.5 years on the overnight. You probably never knew that I did shows in Florida from my apartment in New York. Shows on a Florida radio station that Sid Rosenberg hooked me up with. That I was doing shows on the weekends and hosting a Yankee pregame show. Me, I did a Yankee pregame show on the radio for a year. Or working at MLB.com, or working at WOR, or doing play-by-play, or not play-by-play, but doing a color commentary for Columbia football. Like, there's a lot, you know, not to mention, like I said, the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, with board op, tape op, all that stuff. And that's not even half of it. I forget some of the stuff that I've done. Oh, yeah, I remember doing that. Working at Sirius XM Radio. Like, those are... this is 20 years of dedicating my life to this career. And you've seen it pay off with a full-time job on the air 2 years ago. And now, obviously, moving up to middays at this point. So it's not just, you know, a 2 year thing, or as Carton was saying, yeah, an overnight success. How people think that just because somebody's on in a primetime show, whatever it is, radio, TV, it doesn't matter. The wrestlers that I talked about before, baseball players, athletes. You look at some of these athletes, and now obviously you know the system a little bit better, but you know how much work goes into being a professional athlete? We see them on the big stage and that's all we care about. But the steps to get there. The hours in the gym, the hours on the field, the hours in the cage, the hours on the court, the hours on the ice. That's the stuff that you got to respect. Bob is calling from Bayside. What's up, Bob?
Sal, I'm not going to be as long-winded as the first caller, but congratulations on your move to Dayton.
Thank you, Bob. Is that it? Yeah, that's all you got for me? You're not going to tell me how great I am?
You are great, Sal. And by the way, all the props to... People, you're right. People don't realize what goes into the preparations for years before you get to where you are. But all right, let me say something about the Yankees. Right? Remember about 3 months ago, everybody was calling in. You had a show where they were giving their favorite movies, Casablanca, The Godfather. Remember that show?
I don't actually. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we did. I'm sure we did.
Your whole show was people calling in about movies. Well, let me give you an analogy of a movie. It's before your time, 1965. But your poker player listeners will know that. The Cincinnati Kid. You know the movie?
I do not. I feel like I've heard of it, but I do not know the movie.
Steve McQueen plays the Cincinnati Kid. He's a poker player who beats everybody. Now he's ready to come up in class and play the man, Edward G. Robinson. They finally have a game. And in the end, the man beats the kid. He breaks him. And the final scene, the man says to the kid, "Son, you're very good. You're good. But as long as I'm around, you're number two." Well, I have a message for you and Hector and Eric and Fleeks. As long in this town, as long as the Yankees are around, the Mets are number two.
Hey, fair enough. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to argue that at this particular point. There may be a day, Bob, where that changes. I don't know if you or I are going to be around to see it. Well, I mean, let's hope that that's the case, at least from my perspective. I'd love to be able to rub it into you. There's no arguing. The Yankees
before you
are,
hang up on me, Sal. The
yeah,
Mets,
no, but let me just confirm it, though. I'm agreeing with you. The Yankees.
I want to compliment the Mets on one thing. The Mets have been in existence since 1962. And in the last 61 years, the Mets have had two runs where they were the talk of the town. From 69, the Miracle Mets, to 73 when they were in the World Series, but they lost. Mm-hmm. And from 85 to 89, with Gary and Keith and Doc and Straw, those two four-year runs, the Mets were the talk of the town. The Yankees had the other 52 years.
Right, and the Mets fan has thought, and thank you for the call, Bob, and for the kind words. The Mets fan has thought that it was going to change at times over the last, 20-plus years, whatever it is exactly, and it hasn't. We've been referencing it the last couple of days because I really think you can take this year's season for the Mets and put it up there with maybe the top three worst seasons of all time in franchise history. If last year was one of the best seasons in franchise history, certainly in the regular season, but overall, this year has to be one of the worst. And I say that not just because of their record, not even just because of the expectations off of last year, but because to me, in 2006, I was skeptical. Everybody was talking about Wright and Reyes, and that team was a very good team. Probably still to this day, the best Mets team that I have seen in my lifetime outside of 86. 2006 was the team. And at that time, the talk was, Mets are going to take over the town again, here we go. And then we know what happened the following year, the collapse in 07, losing on the final day of the year in 2008, closing down Shea Stadium by getting eliminated for the year. Like, those two awful things, they didn't recover from that. 2015, the next time we'd see them in the postseason. And they go to the World Series. Terrific year. Great year led by Terry Collins. My friend, Terry Collins. And he gets them back to a postseason again the year after, even with all the injuries. But they lose in the wild card game. And just when you thought that maybe the Mets were going to take a next step forward with that young pitching, it all falls apart. Harvey, Syndergaard, Wheeler, whatever. Mats, never the same. And they haven't been the same until, as far as playoffs go, until last year. This time was supposed to be different, though, because of Steve Cohen. Because there's no fluctuating with the richest owner in the sport. For years under the prior regime, a lot of their ineptitude and futility was because of the lack of spending and really just lack of investing in the club. That was a big part of it, especially since 2009, from 2009 on. So once Steve Cohen took over and came out and made big moves early on and talked about investing in this team and doing whatever it takes to win, backed up his words with the payroll, all that stuff. Then you saw it play out successfully last year. I did not think, and this is on me for being ignorant or foolish again, I did not think we were going to see the same pattern as we saw before in 06 and 15, just to name, the more recent ones. I did not think we would see that this time. I legitimately thought this was a good team that at the very least, like at the worst case scenario, would be a playoff team, a wild card team. Worst case. If you were to paint the worst picture this year, and I could see a scenario, we talked about that before the year started. I could have seen a scenario of the worst picture, but in that scenario, the Mets are still going to be a playoff team. The fact that they're not going to be a playoff team now, no doubt one of the worst seasons in franchise history. And that's why Bob and Yankee fans alike all right. As long as the Yankees are here, the Mets are going to be number two. Now, it may not be that way individual seasons, but overall, there's one team in this town that has had sustained success over the course of, you know, three decades, if not, you know, longer, but I'm talking about even in recent history. It's the Yankees, and it's not close. Joey is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Joey?
How you doing there, Sal?
Good, Joey.
Okay.
How are you?
I want to talk something other than baseball. The Yankees are doing okay, you know. But like what Steinbrenner, you know, don't understand is Yankees got to do better than this. It's ridiculous. But I want to talk about something. I want to talk about the Giants and Barkley. You know, show the man the money. You know, what I don't understand.
Show me the money.
Yeah, you know, what's his name?
Joey.
Tom
say
Cruise.
It. No, I want you to say it. Say it. Say it. Show me the money.
What about that guy, Leonard Williams?
Show me the money.
I never expected to sign Leonard Williams. You know, Leonard Williams. What did you know, signing Leonard Williams before Barkley?
Joey. Yeah. Just say it with me. Yeah. Say it with me. Show me the money.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Show me the money.
No, well, yes, say it. Show me the money.
That's right. Show me the money. Show the man the money. The man is worth it. He comes off a ACL and he gets 1,300 yards and he caught about 70 passes as a running back last year. I mean, the guy's good. You know, running and receiving. He's a valuable player. But you're gonna sign Leonard Williams over him.
Because he plays a more important position, Joey. That's the issue. I understand you love Saquon Barkley, as do I. And obviously, I want him back. The Giants want him back. He wants to be back. But running backs, you can't pay them a ton of money and have a well-functioning roster. You just can't do it. So it's not that they're... Well, I mean, I guess it is that they're devaluing the running back, but it's not that they're trying to hurt Saquon Barkley's feelings or, you know, screw him over. The reality is he plays a position, I don't care how good he is, that you cannot overpay for.
He didn't sign the franchise tag yet, did he, Barkley?
No, you got till July 17th, and he makes it sound like it's going to be a problem if they can't come to some sort of an agreement. So, and thank you for the call, Joey. And I do think your frustration and concern is on point and warranted, because if Barkley does not sign that franchise tag, and if Barkley decides to hold out, that's going to be the story. It's not going to be about the Giants coming off a divisional round appearance last year, trying to take a next step in their division and maybe compete with the Eagles. It's not with the Giants trying to become more legitimate contenders than they were even a year ago in their successful season. It's not going to be about, you know, Daniel Jones and Waller or the new weapons. It's going to be about Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is a perfect face of the franchise. When he's healthy, he's been dominant, an impact player. This team, they were a good team, but it was built on Daniel Jones and Saquon. He wants his fair share. He knows his worth. The problem is, again, running backs are, their value is decreased. It's just a fact. There's no way around that. So I'm hoping they could come to some sort of agreement. There's got to be a way where the Giants can make it work with bonuses or something. No? The franchise tag in the NFL is ridiculous anyway. It should not be there. It's not beneficial to the players. The point of it is understood, but it's taken advantage of. I think a lot of times it's not used the right way by these teams. And too many times we've seen players get screwed by that. And he wants a long-term deal, especially with the way the NFL salaries are, where, you know, these guys are putting their lives on the line every week, and it's not even guaranteed. So I don't blame Saquon. But it's going to be a problem for the Giants if they can't figure it out.
Talk New York sports with us. 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
on the Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Going to 5 a.m. the warm-up show with Al and Jerry on this Thursday morning. Talking some Yankees off of their win. Johnny Brito looking good. Think about it. The Yankees won a ball game, and Johnny Brito, Jake Bowers, and Billy McKinney were the big contributors. Just like Cashman drew it up. Antonio is calling from Manhattan. Antonio, you don't want to talk about the Yankees, though, do you?
I don't think so, man.
Yeah, that's okay.
Now, first of all, man, again, like everybody else, I want to congratulate you. I know you're going to be making the big bucks now. You're going to be a millionaire. You're going to not be talking to any of the overnight people. So I guess that's life. That's how it is with you guys.
No, that is inaccurate on both accounts. Of course, I'll be talking. Matter of fact, now that I may have some extra free time here and my schedule will get a little bit easier to navigate, I do plan on still having I'm going to try to put together an outing to where we could go to one of the baseball games again like we did last year. So I'm not going to be a millionaire, nor am I going to ignore the overnight callers and listeners who I've had a great bond with.
No, actually, I'm actually trying to go to a game with Hector. I have my, by the way, I'm not, I basically have my girlfriend, so just in case. I'm just going to a game, trying to organize to go to a game with Hector because I'm a big fan of his.
So. Hector's the man, and I believe that was the first game, the group outing that we went to. I want to say that was the first time I met him, but I'm not 100% sure. But I know this, since then, him and I have been to several games together. We went to a Knick game, just him and I. We've been to plenty of Met games. He's been to a Met game with my family, so Hector and I have been to plenty of Met games. You will enjoy yourself. There is no more passionate Mets fan than Hector and Washington Heights.
No, he goes to a lot of games because we're trying to go this weekend, and then like I couldn't because I was doing some activity. Also, he was playing softball, but yeah, he goes like every week, like two or three games. I mean,
how do you get in contact with him via Twitter?
Twitter. Yeah, I basically started following him, and then like I comment a lot on his videos and stuff. He does a lot. He does a good job. I mean, he's a passionate fan, and I mean, I like people like that who are passionate about the team that they root for.
Agreed.
So I'm a huge fan of his, and what he does. So, So as far as my main point, obviously, I'm going to talk about the Mets. So there are a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all. Like, see, this is, again, it goes back to what we've been talking since the beginning of the season. It's all about the pitching, but this is what it is. I mean, to kind of, like, make it clear. See, when you have two pitchers like McGill and you have Carrasco, who are basically, at this point, Carrasco is not really a major league pitcher to me. And McGill, the same thing. He's not a major league pitcher. So when you have two guys basically starting that are not going to give you consistent starts, then you basically put in the pressure on the other three pitchers to basically be perfect, and they're not going to be perfect. See, so that's been the main problem, right, with the Mets. So you have two pitchers who are not giving you decent starts, and then now you're depending on Senga, Scherzer, and Verlander to give you basically perfect or good starts. If they don't,
yeah, but they haven't been good either. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Antonio. No, but you can't just say it's because they're expected to be perfect. Justin Verlander's pitching to an almost 5 ERA. Max Scherzer's been bad all year. Kodai Senga has been up and down. Of the three, I would say Kodai Senga has been closest to the expectations that we had of him before the season. Scherzer and Verlander have been awful. So it's not just that you're right, McGill and Carrasco don't belong in the big leagues right now, and it's a problem, but Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander have also been the problem.
No, I agree 100%. I'm just saying that when that's the problem, when you have two starters, I guarantee you that the Mets right now replace them with two solid starters, like a 4 or 5. I'm telling you, the season is going to change because now those three pitchers, they're going to have less pressure. The funny thing is that when you look at Scherzer, right, he has a 6-2 record. Think about it. If he wins his next two starts, he could be 8-2 before the All-Star break. Think about that. The guy can be 8-2. But I want to get to my main point real quick, which is the pitching coach, right? Nobody has been talking about basically the pitching coach And see, he's supposed to be working with, for example, you were talking about Smith, right? And now using his fastball. The pitching coach should be on his case every time he throws a slider or a curveball or a changeup and it gets hit. Look, you got to throw your fastball. The same thing, look, with the other relievers. So I think the pitching coach has to get a lot of the blame here. And I think, in my opinion, he should be fired. And Buck, I don't know if you saw him today. He looked, Buck is a great manager. We agree. But he looks like he's lost, man. Like, he's like, okay, yeah, we're going to do better.
Well,
yeah,
it's easy to look like that, Antonio. And you're right. And thank you for the call, as always. It's easy to look like that when your team can't win a series and you're saying the same thing every freaking day. I'm not defending Buck here. He's had a bad season, but I know Buck Showalter's a great manager. He's had a bad year. He's a great manager. And you're hearing him and seeing him sound a certain way and look a certain way because it's the same result every game. Now, Jeremy Hefner, the pitching coach you're referencing, he spoke after the game. And the thing that bothered me about him was that he didn't have any answers. He's got to have answers. He alluded to the pitch clock potentially being a problem, but then quickly said, well, I don't want to make it an excuse or make excuses. Well, good, because you shouldn't be making excuses. Everybody else in baseball is doing just fine with the pitch clock. But yet the Mets can't figure it out. Oh, because of their age? What's Tyler McGill's excuse? What was David Peterson's excuse? You know, at least when Mickey Callaway was here, and he was an awful manager, but he did get improvements out of certain pitchers on the staff. Who was Jeremy Hefner made better? Where's the one guy even that you look at and say, you know what? Hefner's made that guy good. Drew Smith is a great example. Why isn't he holding him accountable when Drew Smith throws the off-speed stuff? What's Hefner doing? Aside from applying the analytics, I guess, which is why he's such a stud, and they couldn't wait to lock up Jeremy Hefner and bring him back. The number one thing that irks me about this Mets team, it's not about the performance. I mean, it is, but that's not the number one thing that bothers me right now. I'm just talking about a different category. Number one thing is that they also all say the same thing after these games. Got to be better. Got to play better. We know what we got to do. We did it last year. It's not the want to. It's the desire's there. I don't know, man. We don't have the answer. We just got to be better. We got to be better. How about somebody stand up there and say, this is unacceptable. We're better than this. We suck right now. We're not getting it done. I'm not getting it done. He's not getting it done. He's not getting it done. None of us are getting it done. It hurts. It's frustrating. I'm sorry for the fan base. We've let them down, but we suck right now. And things have got to change because this cannot continue. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear that from somebody as opposed to, oh, you know, we just got to keep doing what we're doing and hope to put it together, the pitching and then the hitting. We've had some hitting, but then when we had the hitting, the pitching's not there. We've had some pitching and then the hitting's not there. Like, it's the same rhetoric after every one of these games. It's nauseating. Every one of them to a man. Yeah, it's frustrating. We don't know why. It would be better. You know, we're playing a good team. Or we try. You know what? No. Somebody get mad. Somebody get angry. Somebody take accountability. Somebody do something. It's 3 months of this malaise with this team. Somebody admit, stand up, talk into the microphone, look into the camera, and admit, the Braves stole the division from us last year, and we haven't recovered. We've got to let it go, suck it up, look in the mirror, take accountability, and figure out a way to get better. Otherwise, heads are going to roll. It can't just be like this. Something's got to change, whether it's the attitude, whether it's a voice in that clubhouse, something. You can't keep doing this.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.